English, which has to do with the new times. It's the new word is crowded loneliness. I think Agastya has some. Thank you. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. What is crowded loneliness? It's an interesting word, isn't it? Crowd, it sounds like many people are around. A crowd means many, many people. How can someone be lonely in a crowd? The word is a word which is taken from, the social sciences. It means, although people are definitely surrounded with many people at their working place, in the buses in which they travel, in the, let us say, in the living areas where they are, they really feel there are no meaningful relationships in my life. They feel lonely. It can also happen when you visit a temple. There may be many, many people around, but few meaningful relationships. So this crowded loneliness is something which we do not want at the Sangha Mela. We actually want to overcome our loneliness of being for ourselves by having Sangha. Sangha means community, in which meaningful or God-centered or Krishna-centered relationships are there. Sangha also means to have community or connection with the Lord. No, we need this togetherness. We humans are relational beings, and we souls are also relational beings. As human beings, we need good company with other human beings, and as souls, we also require the association with the Lord. There's a scientist who says the social self is built by the interaction with other human beings, starting with the parents and so on. And the spiritual self is built by associating with spiritual people. No, it's relational beings we are. And we require these relationships to function and to grow to our full possibilities. So during the Sadhu Sangha, I request you all to keep this in mind. Many have traveled from a long distance. I see devotees from Berlin here. I see devotees from Sweden even here, one devotee, from Switzerland, from England. And I do know we are expecting devotees from New York to come. Why have you come here? What can you gain here? What can fill maybe that space in you which craves for inspiration, for life, for company or community? What can you do to fill that space? I think the Sangha Mela is a wonderful answer to this question. You can come to the Sangha Mela and participate in the many aspects which are here. One aspect are the worship which we do together of Radha Madan Mohan. Another aspect are the kirtans which we do together. Another aspect are the discussions which we have with those who are near to us and those who the relationships have been broken. We are no longer close to each other, but we could repair them here. Or we can develop new relationships. All this and all the other relationships are possible. There's also a motto of this Sangha Mela. I think you can, you were surprised, but what does this mean? This, well, and why are keys hanging from the ceiling? Are these keys who fit into my door when I lose my key? What are computer keys? Or what type of keys? Well, the idea of this Sangha Mela is prayers are keys to the Lord's heart. We modern people have become accustomed to try things with our own efforts, with our own intelligence. We want to come to conclusions through our own connections. We want to have help when we need help. We are very much basing our lives on our own efforts, our own endeavors and so on. But there is maybe an area which we totally miss, and that is that by grace, the area of mercy, of grace, which can come down to us and change our life with more intelligence than we have, with much more strength than we can muster, and with much better connections, the divine connection, than we have. So prayers unlock the heart of God. They open it, and then we can see, hopefully, Radha Madan Mohan. You see a lot of prayers here on the wall, and I recommend you to photograph them and send them with your WhatsApp to all your What's Up and What's Not Up contacts. There are many prayers hanging from the ceiling, and I can already tell you, you will be given a wonderful treasure at midnight. We will give you a physical gift, really, that reminds you of the motto of this Sangha Mela. And all this we do to get in, to try what we can do from our side. That's not much. That's just to tune ourselves in, to open our closed hands so that we can receive. Our hands are always working. But these prayers means you fold your hands. You don't any longer rely on your efforts. You understand my own endeavors carry me not much further than I am at the present moment. Prayer means you close your busy hands. No. You fold them and you say, now I'm praying for help, for divine help. And that we will learn how to do this. We will learn from the best teacher, Narottam Das Thakur. This is Narottam Das Thakur, as far as I know. Here is, what else is here? Here are the various prayers. There are the many keys hanging down. And there is the open heart of Krishna where you can get his mercy. And so this is the decoration and the motto of our Sangha Mela. And I hope that it will be possible for you to really enter the spirit of this Sangha Mela, of this motto, and live with many divine gifts which Krishna will give you, hopefully from his open heart. Maybe some of your lives will even change. Good, so I will just this much as an introduction to the motto, and then I thought let's sing a little bit, and afterwards I will introduce the little seminar which I will give, so that you know what is there. Let us sing. I think we can try this new melody. On which tonality will you start? One who knows, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatya Desatari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jyadvaita Gadadhara Jivasadi Govaktavi. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Abhe, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hey, boy, everybody again, sing again, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Radha Madan Moharadha Manamohan Siddhade Oh, Prem Nandi Hari Hare Krishna. This year I was privileged to again spend a good time in Vrindavan, and I remember I came to Vrindavan at the beginning of the month of Kartik, and like all devotees who are in Vrindavan, I offered every evening a lamp to Lord Damodar, and you know, I did it more or less without thinking much about it, because I know the prayer now. I've done this prayer for maybe 45 plus years each month. It's something which had become habitual to me. And then I remember there was this one opportunity. It was in the midst of the month. It was about after 14 days or so. We had a nice kirtan in one temple in the town Govardhan, the Haridev Mandir. Maybe some of you have seen this event in the internet. There was a lot of talk afterwards about this event. It was packed full, and it was also for those who participated and saw the movies later on the internet. It was quite something. One devotee commented, "Now I know ecstasy exists." How nice, ecstasy exists. Anyways, we offered our lights also, like each day, to Lord Damodar. And all of a sudden, something struck me. You know these moments when something becomes so clear to you, as clear as lightning, we say in English. It really is in front of you. And that was the simple realization that I sing this prayer every evening for 1 month. And I offer a light every evening for 1 month. It celebrates this prayer and this ritual or ceremony, if you want, a particular pastime of Krishna for one entire month. All the other pastimes of Krishna are celebrated for 1 day only. When Krishna's appearance pastime takes place, we do it on 1 day, Jamashtami, not on 2 days, not on for 3 days, a total, not for 1 month. Similarly, Vaman's appearance day, Nrisingadev's, disposing of or liberating Hiranyakashipu, 1 day. But this particular pastime is celebrated for, I don't know how many days this month has, maybe 30 days or 31 days, for each day. Why? What is so significant about this pastime? And I discovered something which I felt for a long time in my heart. Is it that we reach Krishna, was my question. For a long time I'm thinking about it. By our own endeavors, or is it that something has to happen which is not within the human being's strengths so that he can reach Krishna? This was a question. I have many questions in my life, and this was one of them. In fact, this question was beginning to trouble me, because I couldn't really see an end to this. Is it that I have to be good to get God? Or is it that I have to reach out and make endeavors, improve my spiritual practice, give more donations, open more temples, and then one day I will be liberated from material life? Is it this, or is there another factor which I may have overlooked? Now, the Damodar pastime answers this in an amazing way. You all know and have heard it most properly. Here I will only give one perspective which concentrates on answering this question. In the Damodar Leela, Yashoda Ma, a devotee of the Lord, tries to catch the Lord and is not successful. Even when she has put the hand on Krishna and tries to bind him so that he will not escape again, even then she is not successful on her own. She finds all the ropes which are there, all in all the households of Vrindavan, but no matter how much rope she brings together, it remains always two fingers too short. Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna, but the ladies in the household who come say, Yashoda, he's not meant to be caught by you and by your endeavor. And I'm thinking a little bit, isn't that what we as devotees experience? We may have highlights in our spiritual life, but then we feel after some time like we have not attained anything. I know devotees who have practiced for 30 years and who say, I'm at the beginning of my spiritual life, I have not attained much. So then something happens. Krishna sees that his devotee is becoming desperate, and it describes that at that time an energy of Krishna begins to work. Krishna looks at his mother who sweats, who cries, whose hair is in disarray. She has given all the effort which she can to catch Krishna and bind him. And at that time, Krishna's willpower to not be bound, God has a lot of will in him, a lot of determination. One is, he does not want to be bound. In Krishna's own word, I have too much to do. I need to steal butter during the day. But other things are also there. I need to respond to my devotees and so on. He does not wish to be bound. He does not wish to be caught. But this Icha Shakti is called, is overwhelmed by his Kripa Shakti. The Kripa Shakti is known as the king of all of God's energy. So it's more powerful than the strong force and the weak force and the whatever it is called, the four forces which build up this material manifestation. It is more strong than his creative potency. It is the strongest energy. It's the Kripa Shakti, the mercy Shakti. And this Kripa Shakti comes, and he allows himself to be bound. My dear devotees, this Kripa Shakti, if it comes in our own life, it will help us also to achieve Mission Impossible. When this Kripa Shakti descends, it is a Shakti which is absolutely independent. It means you cannot do anything to make it happen. But there is a weak spot in Krishna's heart which you need to know. He responds to his devotees when his devotees call upon him with deep sincerity or with prayer. And it is this art of prayer, I would say the lost art of prayer, which we will hear a lot about. Now I see one of my guests has already fallen down. Guten Abend, es ist noch nicht ganz Schlafenszeit. You speak English or German?
German.
Du, möchtest du dich vielleicht gemütlich hinsetzen, dass man im Sitzen ein bisschen nicken kann? Also da ist ein Stuhl für dich. Das muss ja wahnsinnig unbequem sein, so auf dem Boden, auf einem Ellbogen. Also du könntest dich gerne dorthin, also es geht mir wirklich um deine Bequemlichkeit. Du könntest dich da hinsetzen und dich wohlfühlen. Ach so, oh, sorry. Aber ich stelle mir das wahnsinnig unbequem vor. Also, so you have to sleep on the floor. And, so. So, yes, this lost art of prayer is an art which Narottam Das Thakur has really shown us in two of his prayer books. They are called Prema Bhakti Chandrika, a moon ray that falls on prema, on love. And he has also shown us this in Pratana, his later work. You can see all around a few prayers, but I would like to give you one little taste this evening of one prayer. Tumita paramadeva nari mora upekiba shuna shuna pranera ishvara jadi karana parada tatapi hatumi nata seva diya kara anucha. That's beautiful. He addresses the Lord by two times. He runs almost behind him, and two times he calls out, "Shuno, Shuno, hear me, please hear me." You know, when you try to stop someone, and you don't, you are not successful with your first address. Please, you repeat it. So Narottam Das Thakur says, "O Lord of my heart." Yeah, if you want, we can do it together in a moment. Please hear me. And then he feels the Lord has not yet heard him or stopped. And he says another time, Shuno, please, oh please, hear my prayer. You are the Supreme Lord. Please do not reject me. He calls the Lord in Sanskrit Pranera Ishvara. You are the Lord of my life force, of my life force. You know, when you take life, then the life is gone. And when you give life, the life is there. So he says, you are the Lord of my life force. You have given me life. Now please do not reject me and take the life which you've given me away from me. If you reject me, if you are not paying attention to me, I have no more existence. He says like this. I have at home a book. It's called Speeches That Changed the World. And there was one Jewish person this Jewish person was near to us where we live in Sachsenhausen. You know what is Sachsenhausen? It's a concentration camp where the Jewish people were killed. So he gave a speech. He said, we were there in the concentration camp. Every day we were thinking one of us will be killed. But this was not our problem. Our problem was that the world knew about us and ignored us. They pretended there's nothing like this crime going on. It is seen when you place a person into a solitary confinement, also wenn man ihn einsperrt im Gefängnis, that's the worst punishment you can give someone. Because they feel rejected, they feel given up by society, and most probably the worst thing is they are alone with their own mind, which kills them. The mind has this, he's an enemy often. So he says, O Lord of my heart, please hear, oh please hear my prayer. You are the Supreme Lord. Please do not reject me. Even if I commit offenses, still you are my only protector, because you are Praneshvara, you are the Lord of my life. I have no one else to go to. He says, the word here used is also Nata, Tumi Nata, you are my Lord. You know, Nata is an interesting word. It comes from the root Natri, and it means one, meaning means to give punishment in order to reform a person. So he says, you are my only Nata. Please give me some insignificant service. Don't ignore me. Give me some insignificant service and consider me your own servant. In other words, if you think you are such a bad person, I don't wish to give you anything, then at least punish me by giving me some service to do. Tell me I must do this to reform myself. Because, Krishna, I think you know that I am trying my best, but at some times I'm not good. I'm committing aparada. I'm thinking you're not there. I'm saying you're not there. You're an imagination. This is not what you do in love with someone. Oh, Buddha Bhavana, I think I'm just dreaming you. That is not good. That is not a very... I can say, because Buddha Bhavana is my friend, he will not be hurt if I say, but it is an offensive statement. You're not there. You have no real right. You have no real place in my life. You better don't ask me anything, because I don't know if you're really there. So he says, O Lord of my heart, please hear, oh please hear my prayer. Twice. He has something to say. You are the Supreme Lord. Please do not reject me. I can't live if you don't care for me. Then Krishna might say, but you will not stop. You are so full of offenses. And Narottama answers, true. But see, even if I commit offenses, still you are my only Nata, my only Lord. It's like a father, even if the child is just nasty and so on. For the child, there is no other person like the father. And therefore, he says, please, even if you think I'm wrong, even if you think I'm doing nasty things, please, then punish me. Nata means one who gives punishment to reform by giving me what? Giving me some whip? Giving me some misery? No. Give me some seva, please. And consider me your lost servant. This is an expression which is real. This is an expression which comes from the heart. It was C.S. Lewis, a good thinker, who said, "The prayer which comes before all prayers is, may it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real I who speaks. Lip service or repeating some other prayers might not help you. And the second thing is, may it be the real you that I speak to." We want to be real in prayer. We want to come to a place beyond belonging to a group where prayer is chic. We want to come to a place where we are private with Krishna, where we have our confidential meeting with Krishna. And we want to make sure that it is the real I who speaks. Something real which comes from the heart. Yes. This, when the real I speaks, what has to go? The false I. Yes, false I. The ego has to go. Bow down your stubborn knees, man. I'm speaking London Harbour English. Bow down your stubborn knees. That's very important. Ego and arrogance have no place. And once the ego is gone, we experience freedom. We experience the vastness, the unlimited realm of the greatest opportunities. We are free and can discover the things that really matter in our life, not the things which are there in our conditioned mind or conditioned ego. So, how do you like this prayer? It's urgent, isn't it? You're silent, you don't want to say. I think you would like to repeat the prayer. Some of you, let's get in the mood. Sit down properly.
Ah, Krishna.
O Lord of my heart, please hear me. Oh, please hear my prayer.
Oh, please hear my prayer.
Who is speaking this? Is it the real I? The real you? You are the Supreme Lord.
You are the Supreme Lord.
Please do not reject me.
Please do not reject me.
Even if I commit offenses, still you are my only protector.
Please give me some insignificant service.
And consider me your own servant. I would now like you to turn to your neighbor and tell them your experience as you said this. Did you mean it? Was it the real I? Or did you maybe feel what many people feel, slightly uncomfortable? So much devotion. Ay, Maharaj, I have something totally different in my mind. This is after 20 years. What did you feel about prayer and praying as the real I who speaks? What are your thoughts on this? I will talk with Buddha Bhavana, and maybe you want, you can also go in groups of three. What do I feel about prayer at the moment? This is a scary question. In Vrindavan, I asked, after all these long years, answer me one question in the seminar. What does Krishna mean to you now? Please, you can start now. Some of you feel lonely, just join a group of three. Yeah. So, Buddha Bhavana. Sorry. I felt like I was like, So, Hare Krishna! Thank you very much for participating. I hope this was useful for you to have this discussion. Because it shows us a little bit where we stand and where others stand. We had also a very highly inspiring discussion, thought-provoking discussion. These are very necessary to have such discussions where we exchange views, standpoints, realizations, inspirations. What I find out personally, that before prayer is possible for me, deep prayer, it seems a few other conditions, a few other steps can be or have to be there. For instance, you have to be in a situation where you feel, now I need superior help. It's not possible for me to go on by myself and on my own. I had such a situation in just a couple of days ago. I was working on the life school, the Vedic Way, and preparing something which I really needed to close. I had my thoughts were all there in the mind, and I needed to speak them down on a dictaphone so that someone who knows typing could type them. And it was just so many beautiful points. My desk was overloaded with books from which I wanted to quote. And then I noticed, there is only a very short time left before I must go to my next destination, Hamburg in North Germany. And I remember I said, my dear Lord, I will lose all the preparation work. It was so much work. It took so many days. I would love to now turn to you with a very high prayer, which a prayer which is not selfish, a prayer which is for the good of all human beings, like I do on each Tuesday. I pray first for those who are close to me, then for those who are not close, then for those who want to harm me and do bad things to me, and then for all human beings and the planet Earth. I do this regularly because I think as a spiritual person, one should do this in life. One should pray for the benefit of others, not just his benefit. I said, my Lord, today I feel a little bit childish, but you're the only one who could do this, who knows me well enough. Can you please help me to just finish this article which I'm writing, or this, it was not an article, a seminar which I'm preparing. And all of a sudden I felt an answer. Sometimes there is no answer, but the words came, the intelligence came to see everything in place, to put everything. And when it was finished, I just put the microphone down and said, thank you, I try to never pray like this again for my own benefit. But it's actually not my own benefit, it's a life school which is meant to help people. So sincere prayer needs a circumstance. I wanted to use this example, a circumstance of maybe helplessness, where we feel we are helpless, we cannot do things on our own. We or it needs something like regret, I'm sorry, or it needs something like a deep desire to connect or to please. I've written a few notes here. We pray for answers. That means we should have a question, no? We pray also to receive guidance in our life. We pray to maybe attain something of real value. The human race, the human beings have always turned to the Lord in prayer. It's something very, very old. And by studying a little bit Narottam Das Thakur's prayer, we might come upon very good concepts, very good points which we can also pray, and so on. And then I hope that you will leave Goloka Dham with something very valuable, with a key that opens the door of all possibilities in your life, or if you want to say it like we say, a key that opens Krishna's heart. In fact, I will give you certainly, I'm just looking here. Anyways, I shouldn't tell about it because there is a surprise. And if I tell more now, you will, your intelligence, figure out what is the surprise. Anyways, I will end here. Thank you very much. We have still a little time for questions. If you would like to ask a question, and otherwise we will do Kirtan again. Hare Krishna Nandi. Und Yamuna ist auch da. Willkommen. Ich war in Hamburg und habe euch so vermisst. Und dann habe ich gedacht, ich werde sie hundertprozentig in Goloka Dham sehen. Hare Krishna. Yes, Krishna Kirtan Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I would like to ask your opinion and perspective on the concept making it by faking it.
Yeah.
So this prayer, or the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so much humility. I was speaking with a friend yesterday. It's easy for us to think that they just fell from the spiritual world. Why are they thinking they're lower than the worming stool? Why do they think they're drinking poison? We know it's not factual. Like, we know they're pure, we know they're a manjari. And then we read these prayers, and I can speak for myself, and maybe I know, we definitely don't feel like that. And yet we're supposed to open the book and read this in the early hours of the morning, after being in deep, ignorant sleep. It just feels very artificial and uncomfortable, as you said. Use the word uncomfortable. And, for instance, to share during this exercise, when C.S. Lewis says, the real I and the real you, I didn't know what the real I is. Is it a bright spark? Is it something hidden in my heart? Is it? I don't know, because I haven't realized the spiritual body. And then I was thinking of different deities to pray to, because I don't have a fixed one. So it was very confusing. But then you've given an example of a very true prayer, if I can use that word, just in your own words. So making it by faking it, should we be trying to say the prayers of the acharyas, or should we draw inspiration from them and say in our own words and own circumstances?
Thank you very much for your very relevant question. We will answer from the context of our Krishna conscious philosophy. There we find really I mean, we find two types of prayers. Within this, there's a lot of differentiation, but just to make things simple here, we find prayers which are prayed by great acharyas, great devotees, great exalted beings, and we are also encouraged to turn to Krishna with simple prayers that we have composed ourselves, that we have put together ourselves. You know, the absolute truth, Krishna Kirtan, cannot be approached only from one perspective. You require a few perspectives, many perspectives, because the Lord is so unlimited and so beyond all our categories. So, yes, we therefore need various types of prayers, prayed from various perspectives. What we learn from the great devotees is the goal. What we learn when we pray from our own heart is where we stand. And you need both. If you want to go on a journey, you need to know, okay, here's the point where I start my journey. And here is the goal where I wish to come to. I believe this this real prayer, that is the prayer from the position where you stand at the moment, can be found in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, please accept me, or please engage me in your service. Now you might ask, where did the great souls find this in the Hare Krishna mantra? It only says Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There is no Kripa Karo, give your mercy. Or I don't even know the Sanskrit for saying, please engage me in your service. Seva karo, you know, give me seva. There is nothing like this. Where do we find? How do they conclude Hare Krishna? Well, if you look at the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it starts with the name Hare. Hare is the name of Radharani, who is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, who pleases him by various devotional services. So when you go Hare, you connect with Radha and what she stands for. One expansion of Radharani, now I'm getting quite philosophical, is Bhakti Devi. And Bhakti, the word Bhakti, means, amongst other meanings, to render service. So Radha, who embodies Bhakti Devi, Bhakti Devi is her part, stands for devotional service. And therefore the great acharyas have seen in the Hare Krishna mantra this idea, please engage me in your service, please accept me. Like, that's how they get it. And I feel when a devotee chants like this, he will really turn to the Lord and he will say something like, please engage me in your service, or as Prabhupada says, please accept me. It's a request for the divine connection. And in that request, there are a lot of unexpressed things, a lot of what is you, you know. When I say to you,
Oh, why make it so personal? When someone says to another person, please accept me, there are many, many things he has in his mind. Like, maybe I have wronged you in the past, but please accept me. Maybe that is in his mind, but not expressed. Or he may say, when he says, please accept me, you know, he may think, I don't have many high qualifications, you know. There's a lot of unexpressed things. There's a lot of you, in other words, but unexpressed you. So I always think during a kirtan session, when we sing, sometimes we sing for hours. In Radha Desh Melos we sing, no, Gaur Krishna, for hours. Sometimes we sing here and there for hours. And as you chant this prayer, a lot of you is going on. Have you noticed? A lot of you, your thoughts, your aspirations, many times your dullness, just lip service is going on, but that's also you, you know. So a lot of real things happen during the kirtan. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other devotee with a question? Yes, Gaura Hari.
I was wondering how prayer is connected also with the other practice, like chanting, hearing. I heard once Urmila Mataji is mentioning that, for example, in the chanting of Japa, it is like part of Smaranam. It's not Kirtanam or Shravanam, but it's more Smaranam.
Mm-hmm.
And also then the meaning of the Maha Mantra, it's a prayer. So how much the different aspects like the chanting, hearing, and how does it get together or combine together?
Yeah, we have heard, of course, that there are a few processes of devotional service. Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, singing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam is there, and then comes Vandanam. Yeah, first Parasevanam or first Vandanam? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Achanam, then comes Vandanam. No? So it is definitely one of the nine processes of devotional service. Now you asked, how does this prayer relate to other things, like chanting, for instance, interact? Yes. I know we often hear the word prayerful chanting. No? Have you heard this? So it, you know, the chanter should have I mean, when you chant, you definitely should it's so difficult to express what I wish to express, but you should be a you should be a person, you should be something in you, you should be fully participating in the chanting, right? This is what I want. Participation we want. Vocal, physical, and mental participation. And praying is definitely a participation. Praying when you chant. I also heard it has to do with Smaranam. The Vandanam, it's very connected. I just read this today. I've not seen it yet in the scriptures, but I've seen it in Urmila's book. There's one older devotee who says like this. He must have thought about it at length, and it must be correct, but I cannot say what he has discovered or seen, I do not know. I only know that when you chant, you must participate. And a chanting is a prayer. It's a turning to the Lord, opening your heart to the Lord. No, this is a prayer. Therefore, we say participate. Prayerful chanting is required. Where I stay in India, it's a complex, Vasundhara building, and there is one temple, and this temple, you know, they don't really have a priest who can do the artik. No, they have a priest who comes there at the times to do the artik, but they don't have monks or people who play the gongs and the bells. What they have is a machine. The Arctic machine. It's one of these very creative inventions. It has, there are gongs hanging, and then there are hammers, and then somehow it's programmed. It goes ging 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 ging. Now this is a machine who is engaged in helping a ceremony. The machine is just a machine. It's not a person. The machine does everything the person does, but it's not a person. We will have to think about this subject in times to come, where artificial machines, much more intelligent machines than you can imagine, are making a lot of people, you know, we humans will have a lot of free time. They will take over. There are books now coming on the market, flooding the market. I saw one at my father's desk. It says, "Wir Maschinen, wir Machines," you know, and it's about, I think, a discussion between robots who talk really like human beings, but there are a few things which computers can't do, which only humans can do. One is they can pray deeply from the heart. Lip praying, machines can do very easily. You can program and they say everything much more beautiful than you have said this evening, with much more but it's not devotion. The Arctic machine is not participating in it. It's a machine. It does not pray to the Lord. There is no function. You could say, I can program a computer to pray, but then it's not the same thing as you turning the real I, turning to the real you. Hare Krishna. Artificial intelligence. Ooh. Have you noticed how intelligent your mobile telephone is? What it can remember? Wow. What it can do? Few things computers can't do. One is praying. And asking them themselves the question, do I really pray as a real I, or do I do lip service? It's not there. Good. So we will close the session now. Let me just watch the... Yes, we have 2 more minutes, please. Maybe what we can do is you can do a prayer for kirtan. Is it possible? Let's try.
In 10 minutes, the altar will open and we will have another darshan. I don't know if it's good that the devotee already turned toward the altar.
Oh, yeah. Darshan while kirtan. Oh, yeah. What we can all do is we can turn towards the altar, please, which will open in a few minutes, and then it should be possible
for us maybe to enter the prayerful mood through the kirtan.